Hello and welcome to the Slowolution podcast. I'm your host, Anna Engelhardt, and this is the place for all things health and well-being for the busy mom of today. So grab a cup of tea and get ready to be inspired.
Hello and welcome to today's episode, where we will be talking all things self-care, me time, setting boundaries as a mom. Today's guest I met on Instagram, out of all places. She's a fellow mom to two young kids, has a health and wellness business, coaching people on clean eating and how to create a healthy lifestyle. And in addition to that, she is a full-time first grade teacher. Please welcome Amber Mazzone. Did I pronounce your name correct?
Yes. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Amber, welcome. It's great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to chat with you as well.
I am super excited to be talking about today's topic of, as I said, importance of self-care and me time and setting boundaries as a mom. I think that there is still a lot of misunderstanding around this topic, especially from the older generation. From my experience, self-care as a mom is still seen as something, in a way, selfish, or I wouldn't call it being a bad mom, but, you know, still, it's still seen as a kind of a selfish thing. And to be honest, this was my own thinking as well when I first became a mom over 7 years ago. It took me kind of a minute to realize that if I want to be a good and sane mom to my kids, then I need to take care of myself first, you know, to take care of my own physical as well as mental health first, probably even more so mental health.
Absolutely.
But Amber, yeah, you are a mom to two kids.
Yes.
What has your personal experience been, you know, with self-care since becoming a mom? Was that a concept you even thought about when you became a mom? Was it accepted by the people close to you?
I would say absolutely. It was not. It wasn't my emphasis when I first became a mom. When I first had my daughter, I was home on mat leave and my husband was working. So I took on a majority of the childcare duties, as mm-hmm. I believe a lot of moms do, as well mm-hmm. as managing the home, the errands, the shopping, the birthday party planning, family events. Pretty much, I guess I felt because I was home, mm-hmm. I wasn't working, I was on mat leave, so I took this on myself. Mm-hmm. And I had two babies in a row, so my children are 16 months apart. So I had two and a half years basically where I was home and I had both kids home with me full time. So I loved it. I loved my mat leave. I love that time with my children, but I did find myself getting run down. My first baby was very needy. She had separation anxiety. So mm-hmm. I absolutely did not ever take extra time for myself because it would mean a lot of stress to her and to our family. And even if I left her with my husband, it would be very stressful for them. Mm-hmm. So I sort of took that upon myself to always be there for her to sort of ease that anxiety. And then when I went back to work, when my daughter was 2.5 and my son was 1, I mm-hmm. felt like our whole world just went upside down. It was really challenging because I had already gotten into this role where I was doing everything at home, but then I was working as well.
Right.
So I was overwhelmed. I was exhausted. Eventually I felt like I was almost on the verge of a burnout and I wasn't eating well. We were on a budget. Maybe, you know, two kids in daycare is pretty costly here in Canada. So we were trying to, you know, manage our spending. So I wasn't taking care of myself. I felt like I was scrambling all the time. So I guess basically I got to a point around that time when my kids were maybe around, I'd say like three mm-hmm. and two, where I got this opportunity to get into this health and wellness business. And that really changed my life.
Isn't it strange or funny how, you know, when we become moms, we all of a sudden, especially, you know, for the moms that stay at home for a little bit or for a little longer, they all of a sudden assume that, you know, everything should kind of fall on their own shoulders and you know, they should take care of everything and everybody. I see that with so many of my friends and so many of, you know, clients and so on that I have, I find that phenomenon very interesting.
Absolutely.
And I guess self-care would mean something different to each one of us. For me personally, I need my, 30 minutes each day for a workout in some form. I work out at home. I usually get up an hour before the rest of the family, so around 5:45, 6:00, to start the day on my terms, as I like to call it. You know, with my routine of meditation, I do a 20 minutes TM meditation, practicing gratitude, setting my intentions for the day, journaling a little bit, and then, a workout. What about you? What does self-care mean to you, or how do you implement it in your everyday life?
So my self-care routine sounds pretty similar to yours. I started to really emphasize personal growth and like reading for personal growth probably about 1.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's been the most life-changing thing for me. I've been reading a lot of like Rachel Hollis, Gabriella Bernstein, mm-hmm. Jen Sincero. So I also do the Miracle Morning. I wake up at 5:00. Mm-hmm. I need to get moving at 6:00, but I get up early when no one else is there. And I work on either a little bit of these 6 things, not always all 6 every day, mm-hmm. but I do meditation, journaling, gratitude for sure, affirmations. Mm-hmm. I think about what are my goals for the day. So what do I think is the most important thing for me to accomplish today? I try to visualize what those most important things will look like. And I also do a lot of that personal growth reading. For me, I don't have time to really sit down and read. So I put an app on my phone where I can listen to different books. And I do that while I'm driving on my commute time. And I do it late at night when I'm, washing up the kitchen and making the lunches. I let it go on my phone so I can listen. Another really big, big thing for me for personal care is my nutrition, because for me, I don't feel well, I don't function well when I'm eating poorly. So I try really hard to invest a lot of my my time and care into what I'm eating. I try to eat really whole foods as much as possible. Lots of veg, lots of berries and fruits. I try to cook at home as much as I can. And because I'm busy, I have to try and sort of plan that out, meal plan, and make sure I'm making things in batches. So it sort of will take us through a busy week. But nutrition is huge for me for self-care, because once I start eating junky food, or if I'm eating too much bread and pasta, I find myself I'm not able to be as good of a mom, and I'm not as productive in my day. So that's huge for me. Another thing for me for self-care, I mean, I do yoga. I joined a boot camp, and I love getting the exercise, but I also find I like to go out and be with friends. So having that that motivation to go there, sometimes I don't maybe feel like going to work out at 8:00 at night. But if I'm registered in a boot camp with my friends, I feel accountable to go. So it pushes me to go, and then it's fun. And I feel like myself again. So I feel like myself at home with my kids too. But it's very freeing to tuck them in and say, I'm going out for 1 hour, and just walk out of the house alone.
Yes.
So I do find that very freeing, and I do try to advocate for that for myself. And a little bit of friendships, just getting together for lunches and brunches with friends. So those are my main self-care practices.
They sound all amazing. And I think it's extremely, I think as moms, what we think is, that the what makes a perfect mom is always 100% being there for your children, which is, certainly right. But I find that I'm a much better mom if I, every once in a while kind of take a step back, and take an hour or an evening or whatever to meet with my girls, or, just do something completely different without the kids. And I think then you're also it's much easier to, to kind of reflect on, everything that is happening, or exchange ideas maybe also with other people, or hear their experiences, talk about your own experiences. So I think that definitely, makes me a much better mom, much more relaxed, or I don't know if patient will be the right word with such a young kids, because I find myself constantly running out of patience. But patience is never has never been my strong point. So, but I find that all these like little things, little steps that they kind of kind of add up. But when was it, when did you realize that you need to do something, that you need to kind of change, you know, your lifestyle up to that point where you were saying you were almost on the verge of like a breakdown or burnout or...
Yeah, what made me realize I had to change was I was just not functioning too well. I was waking up in the night with just stressing out, thinking about things. I knew I wasn't eating well because my stomach was really not well. And I was going to see the doctor to see what was going on about that. So I felt like from all sides, from my health, from the way I wasn't sleeping, I just felt, like you said, overwhelmed with everything. Mm-hmm. So I knew I had to make those changes. And like you said, I do find that taking that me time, it really does make me appreciate and sort of almost consolidate what we're going through and sort of gives you a better perspective on it. Connecting with friends, stepping out of the home and just being alone and to reflect. I find it helps me see what my priorities are. It helps me appreciate my family, helps me appreciate my husband. If he's going to be with my kids for a few hours, I appreciate him for that. But it gives me renewed energy and happiness and renews my patience because it is hard, right?
It is.
With life.
Yes. You know, sometimes my husband comes home and then he'll just look at me and then he'll be like, okay, go for a run. You know, without even saying anything else. I don't know what I look like. I don't know what that, you know, I'm giving everybody. He'll be just like, okay, honey, go for a run. Go for a run. And it's amazing how, you know, just going out for around 30, 40 minutes, how much it will calm me down and how much it will put things into perspective. It will actually... You know, I'm looking forward to then going back and giving my kids a hug and, you know, enjoying the dinner or whatever that might be. And it doesn't even have to be a run. It can be just a walk. I mean, I remember one time I didn't feel like walking. So I didn't feel like running. So I just walked down by to the lake, which is like 5 minutes away from our place. And I just sat at the bench and I looked at the sunset and I looked at the, you know, all the mountains in the far and the lake, and it just calmed me down. You know, I also took like a few minutes just to meditate. It calmed me down, and then after I think 20, 30 minutes, I was ready, and then I went home, and it's like you're a completely different person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that, you know, motherhood is probably the hardest thing I will ever have to do. You know, as rewarding and wonderful it is, I think we all know that it's also extremely frustrating and difficult, or it could be at times. And I think this is true for every mother, you know, and I don't think there's anything bad about admitting that or saying that. And I'm most definitely, you know, far from being the perfect mother. I'm learning with every situation, every day, with every opportunity. But as I said, making time for, you know, self-care and me time every single day just helps me cope with all the, you know, difficult moments, helps me refocus and recenter, as we said, reflect on certain situation. I don't know, what has your experience been? How does self-care and me time benefit you as well as the kids?
I do feel it benefits my kids and me. It rejuvenates me. It allows me to give them more of my focus. Like you said, it allows me to reflect. If I'm with friends, I can sort of bounce ideas off people or even just feel like we're all the same, right? As moms, I think we're all pretty much going through the same emotions, struggles, passions. We're all almost the same, and so getting that connection and validation from other people is, I find, supportive. And to know that nobody's doing it perfectly, but we're all just, you know, doing our best. I would say
exactly. But I still find it amazing, or maybe it's just a I don't know, country dependent, I don't know, but I still find it amazing that so many women have a hard time opening up about the struggle, because, you know, at times it is a struggle, and I think it is okay to be a struggle. I just wish that, you know, more of us would actually share that experience and would talk about it and talk about the fact that it's, you know, okay. It's okay to feel frustrated. It's okay to feel maybe at times even unfulfilled, you know, in terms of, you know, whether you're staying at home and you left that great job, or, you know, there could be millions of reasons. But I kind of wish that there would be more women, or as the majority, we would talk openly about it and not try to portray this perfect life, which, you know, maybe looks good on social media, or maybe it looks good, I don't know where. But, you know, I kind of wish that more women will be open about it, because I think we all go through it. And I think it's something completely normal and completely, yeah, it's a reality.
Yeah.
But one thing that I absolutely love about, you know, taking the time for self-care every single day is that, you know, at the same time, I show also my kids that it's absolutely okay to set boundaries. It's okay to take time for yourself and to be alone. I think that, you know, we are living in a society where we're kind of panicking of the fact that we might be sitting in the room for half an hour alone, you know?
Yeah.
So, and to show them that, you know, their own health should be a priority. I love the inspiring aspect of that. For example, when I work out at home, because I'm really not the gym fan, so whenever the kids are around, they will actually join me. And of course, you know, my workout is not as effective or as efficient or whatever as if it would be if I do it alone. But I just think it's so much fun. It's so much fun to inspire them and to see them, you know, try different things or look up to me. I really think that's fantastic. What has your experience been with, you know, setting on the one side boundaries, but then on the other side, or at the same time, also inspiring your kids?
Well, I agree with you. I like to do those practices in front of my children so that they can see. Sometimes on the weekend, I'll do a workout and they'll come and join in. Sometimes I'll be up in a bedroom journaling and my daughter will come and I'll say, why don't you get your journal and we can sit together. And, you know, I would just want to have some quiet time. And if you want to join me and have quiet time too. So I do think it's good to role model those practices. I do find for me, I'm still working on setting the boundaries, even just with myself, because even though sometimes I intend to do things for myself in the day, I can talk myself out of them. So it's not so much my family that I need to set the boundaries, because my children are small and they respect it. If I say I'm going to yoga or I'm going to boot camp, they're like, good night, mommy. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. Have fun. Even my husband, he'll say, have fun. But I find I have to be accountable to myself too, because it's very easy at the end of the whole day to say, oh, I'm not going to go to yoga because I didn't, you know, make the lunches yet and I haven't cleaned the kitchen and there's laundry. So I feel like that's where I'm still working on is really being clear about that my self-care is more important than always doing the laundry. It's never done.
No, with kids, it's never done. No.
No. So, I mean, sometimes you have to push yourself for those things. So for me, I find the only way I can really do it is to schedule it and to wake up early. If I wake up early in the morning, I can at least get that hour in the morning. Once the day starts going, I find that the day can get away from me. So that's my sort of what I'm working on with my boundaries, is working on myself.
Right. Which is, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, we are the biggest work in progress, you know, so it's definitely interesting. But I find that I'm much more productive in a day. I mean, I'm also the complete morning person, so it's easy for me to get up that early. But I find that, you know, when I don't get that extra hour, or when I don't get, you know, when I don't get up earlier than my family, I'm not as productive as when I actually do get that hour, which I find very, very interesting.
I agree. And I also find that I'm more relaxed. If I get up early and I have that time for relaxation, I think about the day, I find I'm more in tune with the children. So when they get up, I'm more in tune with them. I'm not as frazzled. I'm not rushing. I just feel more calm and in the moment.
Yes, completely agree. But you are working, which makes it even harder to find the time for self-care. So how do you implement it? Because at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, prioritizing and so on. But I'm just interested to know, how do you implement self-care and me time in your everyday busy life?
It's almost impossible unless I do that morning hour.
Okay.
That's the only way I can figure it out. I try to go, like, certain nights of the week, I know which night is yoga and which night is boot camp. Mm-hmm. But I find things come up, like last night it rained and then we didn't do boot camp, or like, you know, things come up and at the end of the day, those things, even though I plan it, it might not still happen, but the morning is a for sure thing. So that's for me the only way I can can manage, because I'm out of the house for 8 hours, and then when I'm in the house, we're busy, right?
Right. The madness starts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
More or less. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but and then I guess, you know, everybody needs to figure out for themselves what is the best way for my family, for me, for the lifestyle that we have. And as I said, not everybody's a morning person, but I also find definitely the morning the hour that helps the most, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so too. I used to try and work out when my kids were smaller. I was trying to work out at night when they would go to bed, but I just found I was so exhausted by then. So then I reversed it. I started just going to bed earlier and then getting up early and doing it in the morning. And I find it works better for me. So you're right. You have to kind of play with it and figure out what works for everybody, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. For me, it's also workout needs to happen first thing in the morning, in the morning, because otherwise as the day goes on, it's kind of like, I don't feel like it, you know, and then you kind of find million excuses why you shouldn't do it, although you know that you would feel much better after you do it. But I got to get it out of the way. But otherwise, it's just not happening.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that you're super busy. So I have one last question.
Okay.
What would be your number one advice to any new mom?
I guess,
based on your experience.
Right. So based on my experience, I would say just to figure out what your needs are for self-care, whether it's working out or alone time with friends, or, you know, having that hour in the morning, or whatever it is. For some people, it might be going to get their nails done. Whatever it is that you need, set that expectation with your family as early as possible and ask your partner really clearly for what you need. I think that's so key, because in the beginning I wouldn't necessarily know what I needed. And then if I kind of knew, I wasn't clear about it, but now I know I have to be super clear with my husband. I say, you know, next Saturday I would like to do XYZ. Will you be available to have the kids from 4 o'clock till 6? And then if he says, yeah, I think that should work, I say, okay, let's put it on the calendar. So I try to be really clear. So I would say to do that as early as possible, and really just to try not to take on other people's expectations of what a mom or a woman should do or should be, because I think that was one of my struggles, really, was when I was forming my identity as a new mom. I was really heavily influenced by my parents, my husband's parents, and what other family member expected a mom to be, right? Or what I perceived that they expected of me. And so there was it was stressful trying to figure out like who I am as a mom, but we have to believe in what we're doing and know that not everybody's going to be the same type of mom, and we're all doing our best and we're doing what our kids need from us. And to try not to take that on, because I think that's what we do as women, right? Like, especially in the beginning, we don't know how to parent. So we think that these other people are giving us advice, and we think that, oh, this is the right way to do it, but it might not be for us. So really to listen to our instincts, because we do have those instincts if we allow ourselves to hear them, and let other people, family members, have their two cents, but not to take it to heart. Like, I really did. There were some things I really took to heart and let myself take on that I wish I didn't really need to.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I guess that's...
I love that. I love that, because I think that, you know, all of us, as you said, as a new mom, you have no idea what you're doing. Hormones are all over the place. You know, not happy with maybe that you didn't lose the weight right away. I mean, there could be millions of reasons. And then I feel that everybody, or at least this was also... more or less, you know, the experience that I've seen also with my friends and so on, everybody is very opinionated, and everybody, you know, wants to tell you exactly how you need to do things. And as you said, I think you're absolutely right. We just have to pause for a second and listen to our instinct and listen to our, you know, what our basically gut feeling tells us. And I think also that we should never, ever feel bad or guilty for wanting to take half an hour or whatever that might be, an evening just for ourselves. I think that was kind of the biggest in the beginning for me. I always felt guilty. I always felt, you know, I needed to be there, and I needed, you know, where my husband could, you know, he would have done the exact, almost the exact same job like me, you know. But I think it's this just feeling guilty. Yeah. I think nobody should have to feel that way. But Amber, thank you so much for taking the time to share your experience and what you have learned, what the lessons. It was great chatting with you, and hopefully we can inspire many moms and moms to be out there to take time for themselves every single day to make themselves a priority. And to our audience, thank you so much for listening. You can follow Amber on IG at Amber_Mazzone. That's MAZZONE. And remember that at the end of the day, self-care is a mindset. And it starts with you, and every little step adds up and counts.
Thank you so much for listening and for being here. It truly means the world to me. I would love to connect with as many of you as possible, so let's connect on Instagram. You can find me at Slowolution for your daily dose of healthy living inspiration. If you feel inspired by this episode and want to learn more about all things health, well-being, and motherhood, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. This way, the podcast can reach and inspire even more moms and moms-to-be. And make sure you stay tuned for the many upcoming exciting episodes. Wish you all a lovely week.